Well, I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 23, and we're going to see if I can cut 10 pages to 5 of notes, I mean. All right, we're going to study the 23rd Psalm this evening, a little bit more of it. And tonight, what I want us to look at is the phrase in verse 3 that says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Now, if you remember, we are studying the 23rd Psalm, which starts off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the beginning, that's the crux of the Psalm. And then quickly, David says, "Therefore I shall not want." That is, there is nothing I will ever really need that my shepherd will fail to provide for me. And that's really the key note of the whole psalm. The rest of Psalm 23 is just an expanding upon, an amplification of this phrase, "I shall not want." Now, the first amplifying promise that God gives is in verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." When I'm hurting, when I'm discouraged, when I'm depressed, when I'm burned out, when I'm used up, when I'm caving in, and when I'm cast down, God promises me that He will restore my soul as part of His ministry of making sure that I want nothing. And tonight, we want to talk about His second amplifying promise, and that is the promise of guidance, the promise of God's divine guidance in my life as His sheep. Now, this verse, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake," has three key parts. First of all, what God does. He leads me. Second of all, where He does it. In the paths of righteousness. And third of all, why He does it. For His name's sake. What He does, where He does it, and why. And as quickly as I know how, we want to talk about those three things tonight. First, let's talk about what God does. The Bible says that He leadeth me. He leadeth me. In Palestine, shepherds would spend their lives leading and guiding their sheep. Sheep just can't get along anywhere. Sheep need to have a constant care and a constant guidance on the part of the shepherd. Sheep can't be left in one place to graze too long. Because if they are, they'll gnaw the grass right to the ground. And then if they're still left there, they'll actually tear the roots right out the ground and destroy the grass. And sheep will also pollute the ground where they are with their waste products until it becomes infested with parasites and disease. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that sheep have to be shifted from pasture to pasture regularly. And one of the major jobs of a good shepherd is to lead sheep every day faithfully from one pasture to another. He does this by going before them. John chapter 10 says that when He leads them out, He goes before them and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. In other words, the shepherd walks along and the sheep simply fall in behind and follow Him. And the reason for this is because sheep have very poor eyesight. Sheep are very nearsighted. Basically, they can only see what's right in front of their nose. And for a sheep to look out on the horizon through the mountains and the valleys and pick his way through there, he can't do it. It's just impossible. And so sheep learn by experience to simply let the shepherd walk ahead of them and not even thinking, not even reasoning, just to follow him. When he turns left, they turn left. When he turns right, they turn right. When he goes straight, they go straight. And when he stops, they stop. And it's just that simple. And that's why it's such a serious thing to be a shepherd. Because sheep, if you lead them to bad pasture, they'll follow you. If you're a shepherd and you lead them into danger and peril, they'll follow you. If you're a shepherd and you lead them right over a cliff, they'll follow you. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying when He said to the Pharisees, "You blind guides, if the blind lead the blind, won't they both fall in the ditch?" I believe He was talking about the role of shepherds and sheep and the fact that sheep will follow shepherds right into the ditch if that's where they lead them. Now, David knew all of that. And that's why I believe that David, as he was thinking about God as his shepherd, said, "You know what, God? Just like the good shepherd, You understand how nearsighted I really am. And Lord, just like a good shepherd, you know that you've got to get personally involved in leading my life, or else I'm going to go fall right in some ditch somewhere. And Lord, you as a good shepherd know that unless you're totally committed to leading me like that, I'm in deep trouble. But you are God, and I thank you for it. He leadeth me. That's God's commitment. He leads his sheep. Now, there is a very popular teaching around today, and you know I've taken shots at this before, but this is a good time to take another shot at it. And that is this, very common teaching in fundamental circles, and that is that God doesn't treat us like babies. God doesn't want to run every part of our life. God wants us to have the freedom like grown men to choose and decide for ourselves many of the issues of life. So God simply sets the parameters, the big parameters. He sets up the big fences around the field, the black and white commands of the Bible. And then as long as I don't transgress these big black and white commands, God is interested in getting little involved in the other choices I make. My career, my mate, the house I might buy, the car I might buy, my business decisions, my daily routine, my parking spaces, or whatever. As long as I stay in those fences, God really doesn't care that much what I do with these things. As far as he's concerned, any choice I make, as long as I don't step over the fences, is fine. It's been popularized lately by the book Decision Making and the Will of God by Gary Friesen. And I want to say to you one more time that in my opinion, this teaching is absolutely wrong. Wrong. I said in my opinion. Okay, I know that's hard words. I said in my opinion. It's absolutely wrong. I'd like to say to you, no, in my opinion, it's absolutely wrong. And what's worse, listen now, what's worse is that I believe it threatens to rob us of one of the most precious promises, of one of the most precious privileges that Almighty God offers us. God offers us as his sheep to lead our lives. And in order for us to let God lead our lives, we have got to believe that that option exists. And when somebody or something convinces us that God really doesn't want to lead our lives, God isn't really interested in the little events of our life, God really doesn't care about the individual details of our life, if somebody convinces us of that, we will stop looking to God for that, and we will, by our own actions, rob ourselves, I believe, of one of the greatest and most precious things God offers us. The Word of God is bursting with statements and promises about God's leading his people. And it's true, God does not want to treat us like babies. God wants to treat us like sheep, right? And when you're a sheep, you need to be led. If you're a sheep, you need guidance. It's part of what being a sheep's all about. Now, I wish I had time to go through all that I have written down here. Let me give you just a couple examples. And I've got a whole tape on this. I'd encourage you, if you've got confusion, to pick up that tape. It's called Correct Decision Making and the Will of God. And I'd urge you to get it and listen. But let me just give you a couple of thoughts. You remember the Israelites out in the wilderness, that they had the cloud and the pillar? Do you remember that? Now that thing, the Bible says that when the cloud lifted and moved, Israel lifted camp and followed that cloud. And when that cloud stopped, Israel camped as long as that cloud stayed still. Now you show me a better example anywhere or any place of God leading his people step by step. They followed that cloud step by step every minute of every day they were in the wilderness. God gave those people specific, detailed, down to the smallest iota guidance. In King Hezekiah's day, the Bible says that the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and God guided them on every side, 2 Chronicles 32. I love the story of Abraham's servant going to look for a wife for Isaac. You remember that? And when he went out looking for a wife for Isaac and he found Rebekah, he said this, Genesis 24, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has led me in the right way to take my master's niece for his son." that servant believed that God had taken a personal interest in the exact woman that was found for Isaac, and that God had taken him and supernaturally led him to that exact choice that God had made. And I believe he got that perspective, frankly, on the leading of God from his master Abraham, who I believe knew God led like that. Listen to some of the promises of God. Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you will shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right or turn to the left. Isaiah 58, and the Lord shall guide you continually. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told us to pray what? Lead us not into temptation. That's why David prays, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Make thy way straight before my face. Now, why am I taking as much time as I'm taking to talk to you about this? Because, folks, God wants to lead your life. God is aching to lead your life. And he's not aching to lead your life in just the big things. God wants to lead your life down to the smallest, most intimate detail of your life. And for us to refuse that kind of leadership is crazy. But we've got to believe God's willing to do that before we're going to be able to reach out and take it. And I want you to believe that. I want you to believe that God's willing to do that for you. I pray about parking spaces. You say, you do what? Absolutely. And it's not humorous. When I go into Washington, it's not. Believe me, it's not humorous. I pray, now, Lord, I know I need to park in here somewhere, God. I know you can go before me and find me someplace to park. I pray about when I go out shopping looking for a pair of shoes or looking for a suit or a tie or a shirt, that God would go before me and give me wisdom and help me find the kind of thing that he wants me to have. When I go out to buy a house, which isn't that often, but when I do, man, I pray about that. I believe God has a specific house that he will lead me to and bless me in if I'll trust him to do that. When I go to buy a car, it's the same way. I pray about which school I should send my children to. And oh, man, did I pray about my marriage partner. Listen, I believe that one of the reasons I got one of the greatest wives in the world is because I prayed for God to lead me to that woman for years. Another reason is because I was such a hunk, but that doesn't really matter. I don't really mean it. I don't really mean that, folks. No, I don't really mean that. And I pray, listen, I pray before my wife goes out shopping. I do. I do. And I pray that God would guide her to just the right things and for just the right price. And if you send your wife out shopping with the credit cards and you don't pray for her, you are crazy. My dear wife, I love her. Folks, what am I trying to say? I'm being a little humorous, but what I'm trying to get across to you is that God has a will. God has a plan. God has a pathway for every part of your life, down to the littlest things, and I have learned the hard way about choosing my own way. Man, I don't want God to put me in a field with just some big fences and say, you pick whatever you want to pick. I don't want that kind of setup. And if God gave me the choice, I would not take that kind of setup. I insisted on that kind of setup with God for a number of years. And I got myself in more trouble and more hot water and more disaster than you could shake a stick at. I don't want that kind of setup. I haven't got the wisdom for that kind of setup. I haven't got the ability for that kind of setup. I want God to show me everything, down to the smallest detail. And I know God will, if I'll trust him. Why? Because he leadeth me. That's his promise. And beloved, I want you to believe that. And I don't want you to let anybody convince you differently. God cares about every part of your life. And he'll lead you if you let him. Well, I've blown all my time, so let me hurry here. Where does God lead us? God leads us in the paths of righteousness. The good shepherd never leads the sheep into dangerous paths. He leads them into safe paths. paths that bring blessing, paths that cause the sheep to prosper. And God leads his sheep the very same way. Since God knows to be holy is to be happy, God always leads his sheep down the path of holy, righteous, virtuous living. That's the way he leads his sheep. And since there's a lot of confusion nowadays about what those words mean, let me put it to you another way. God has taken the Bible and laid out in the Bible what his definition is of holy, what his definition is of righteous, what his definition is of virtuous. And to say that God leads us down the paths of righteousness is to say that God leads us according to what he defines in this book to be righteousness. And it means God never leads us any other way. If you knew the people I've had come into my office over the years and try to convince me the ways that God has led them, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe I have had people sit in my office and try to convince me that God led them into living with a man or a woman before they were married. I've had people sit in my office and argue with me that God led them to falsify documents for somebody else. I've had people sit in my office and argue with me that God led them into an adulterous relationship with another woman. I have had people sit in my office and tell me that God led them into breaking the civil law. The son of Sam, you remember him up in New York? He tried to convince people that God told him to go out and shoot people, go up to cars and just blow people away. I have had people sit in my office try to convince me that God led them to marry an unsaved person. I have had people sit in my office and try to convince me that God led them to break promises they made, break commitments they made, take revenge on other people, refuse to forgive other people. And I've had to say to every one of these people, look, I don't know who led you, but I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't God. It was not God. And the reason is God never leads anywhere but down the path of righteousness and holiness. And that means God never leads anywhere but in obedience to this book. And when anybody tries to convince you God's leading you, if it doesn't square with this book, don't you believe them. Because God doesn't lead that way. Now, God leads in a variety of methods. There are probably as many methods of how God leads as there are Christians to be led. But no matter what method you may use to figure out how God's leading you, regardless of the method, if that method ends up encouraging you in any way that God is leading you to violate the Word of God, then you reject it, because God never leads that way. God leads down the paths of righteousness, which means he leads according to the way he defines righteousness in the Word of God. Finally, why does God lead that way? He does it for his name's sake. God leads us for blessing. You know, God's really interested in blessing your life. And that's why God leads you down the path of holiness, because he knows that to be holy is to be happy and is to be free. But there's a bigger reason than that as to why God leads you. God leads you and me as his people down that path, more than that, for his reputation's sake. Folks, when David sinned with Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet came to see him, you remember what he said? He told him the little story about a man who took a man's single lamb and killed it instead of taking all of his own. And David got upset and said, that man deserves to die. And Nathan said to him, you are the man. Uriah only had one wife, and you took that woman. You have many wives, but you didn't want your wives. You took his wife, and then you killed him. You're the man. And David's heart was smitten, and he said, I've sinned. And Nathan said to him, God has forgiven your sin. You shall not die. But then do you remember what Nathan said to him? Nathan said to him immediately after that, but because by this deed you gave occasion, great occasion, to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, that is to speak evil of the name and the reputation of God, that child's going to die. You see, when David did that, the great king of Israel, the one who had gone to Hiram, king of Tyre, and the one who had gone to the kings of the Moabites and the Edomites and stood up and said what a righteous, holy God he had, and then to pull this stunt. And everybody sits around and goes, right, some righteous God he's got. Nathan said, David, you don't understand what you did. It is more serious than adultery. It is more serious than murder. You have given occasion for the enemies of God to speak evil of his name. And that is what's really got God upset. Folks, this is why God works so hard to get us to follow him. Because his reputation's on the line. It's his name that's on the line. When you see a bunch of scrawny-looking, emaciated sheep, you don't judge the sheep. Who do you judge? You judge the shepherd. Say, man, what an awful shepherd they must have. And folks, the same is true of God's sheep. When our behavior, when our attitude, when our words are unrighteous, people don't judge us. They judge our shepherd. How many people have you met and tried to witness to? And what they throw back in your face is, well, I once knew a Christian. And if you knew what they did, and how can I believe in this righteous Jesus when they did what they did? Haven't you met people like that? Man, if you do any witnessing at all, you will run into that. And I'm convinced a lot of times people are really telling you the truth about how they feel. There's a lot riding on how we let God lead us. More than just our blessing, his name is on the line. You know, there's an old saying that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And the good shepherd can lead in the paths of righteousness. He can offer to do that, but he can't make us follow, can he? He can't make us follow. He can exert a lot of pressure. Later on, we're going to talk about the rod and the staff. He can exert pressure. But when it comes down to the bottom line, he can't make you follow. He can't. A sheep's got to want to follow in the final analysis. But you know what encourages me? Is that if you're weak, but you want to follow, Jesus will provide the strength. If you're under attack, but you want to follow, Jesus will give the victory. If you are falling down every time, if you just can't seem to get it right, but you want to follow, Jesus will keep picking you up. I know that for a fact, folks, because it's the story of my life and probably yours. If you want to follow, I don't care how many mistakes you make, Jesus will keep dusting you off and keep leading you. The key is, do we want to follow? That's really the question. Down the paths of righteousness. I know most of you here do, and I thank God for that. So may I encourage you tonight, if you really want to follow, if you really want Jesus to lead you, he will. He will, and he will overrule your mistakes. He'll overcome all of your shortcomings. He will lead you if you want to follow. Thank you for your patience in letting me speak to you this evening. And I trust God will challenge your heart and God will bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you lead your sheep. The issue really is, Lord, are we your sheep willing to follow? Father, I thank you so many of the folks here are willing to follow you, Lord, willing to believe that you've got a plan for every little part of their life, willing to let that plan be absolutely paramount in their lives. Willing to let you take them down the path of righteousness and obedience to the word of God. Lord, encourage us tonight that if we really are willing to let you do that, you will do it in spite of all of our failings and our feebleness. God, thank you that the moving of the flock doesn't depend upon the sheep, but the shepherd. And so, Lord, we look to you and we depend on you to move our flock along, move our lives along. By your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you lead your sheep, some through the water, some through the flood, some through great trials, but all through the blood. Ah, Lord, how we praise you. And Father, I pray for each one of us tonight that you would challenge our hearts with the seriousness of letting you lead us, with your reputation, Father, being on the line, and that we would understand why it's so important to follow, and that we would be willing to say, yes, Shepherd of Israel, yes, my Shepherd, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Ah, Lord, I pray you do that and glorify yourself through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.